And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome to the House of Wellness. I'm Luke Hines and I'm thrilled to be with you for the next hour to start your day, hopefully inspiring you to look, think and feel your absolute best. I'm pumped because today I'm joined in the studio by Seize the Yay podcaster and author Sarah Davidson. Good morning, Sarah.
Oh, good morning, Lukey. What a pleasure to be here with you guys.
How would you describe your energy in one word?
So high. And that's two words. But it warranted two. I didn't realise until it came out, but very high.
And of course, along with us, we are joined by our resident pharmacist and master herbalist, Gerald Quigley. How are you, mate?
Hansi, I'm well, thank you. And you always go with the hard questions, don't you?
Yeah.
One word can't do it.
I want your energy in one word, GQ. Go.
Sunday energy's been high for as long as I can remember.
That is so many words, Gerald.
This could go awry, so I'm going to get back to the program. Today, we are looking at the topic of digital nutrition. When I saw that we were talking about this topic, I was thrilled because it's an important chat to have. Now, globally, as people, we average, wait for it, 6 hours and 58 minutes of screen time each day. So we're looking at a way forward for us to manage our relationship with technology. Now, be honest, Sarah, how many hours of screen time
a day? I'm not even going to out myself, but that does make me feel a little bit better.
After the break, I'm going to get you to go into your phone and tell me the truth. Screen time, I already know. Your settings, GQ.
How are we defining screen time? So you're saying work time's not screen time. This is
no, work time is screen time. This is overall screen hours.
But some people are on screens because they need a wage.
The way I look at it is a separate. I go screen time on your phone, scrolling, the Instagrams, the
versus
TikToks,
laptop.
All of that versus laptop, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's my take. Because I'm happy to work on my laptop and be productive,
yes.
But if I'm doom scrolling for hours looking at the socials, cannot be good for my health.
Well, we need to get that sorted out right from the start.
Unless it's happy animal scrolling, I think that's joy.
Oh,
promoting.
I love a golden retriever video. So we are going to talk to Cyber.
I'm such an expert on this. How do I find how much?
Sarah, can you help?
I'll come to your aid, GQ. In the break, we'll report back on Gerald's statistics.
I can't wait. It's probably like 30 minutes. So we'll talk to cyber psychologist Jocelyn Brewer on her concept of digital nutrition rather than digital detoxing and unplugging, because Jocelyn says it's all about the intentional and intelligent use of our devices, because let's face it, technology is here to stay. Plus, we are going to touch on lupus, which is an autoimmune disease that mainly affects women. We're going to look at the symptoms and assistance that is out there for this. GQ, lupus, throughout your career, have you been working with this?
Yes, and I've had lots of requests by email especially from women who suffer from lupus saying, can we have a discussion about it? So I'm really looking forward to this chat that we're having later on with our rheumatologist because it is a disease associated with arthritis.
Yeah, so Dr. Catherine Connolly, a rheumatologist with Monash Health, is going to join us to explain the disease of lupus and her research into it, as there's currently no cure for this. We're going to look at ways it can best be managed through lifestyle choices. Back to you, GQ. You're the man of the moment. Vitamin K and its support of our bone health is on our agenda.
Vitamin K2 especially. It is a fundamental nutrient for bone health.
We're going to offer some solutions for children suffering from hay fever, which can impact their daily lives. And I say that and I go, hey, what about me too? I have a mighty sneeze on me. So even though I'm not a child anymore, I'm going to be...
Whoa, hang on.
That's arguable.
Yes, let's have a chat about that as well.
We deal in facts only here.
Oh, you
Luke
guys.
Hines.
What would I do without you? But don't forget, what would we do without you, our listeners? The next hour of power is all about you. So call in. Take this number down right now. 131-873. We are here, the three of us, to answer any and all of your health questions. So it might be about a supplement you're taking or curious about, medication that you're unsure about, injury, health and wellness query. We're here. But next up, living with our technology the healthy way, right here on The House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Telfast at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Our number, 131-873. Please give us a call on any of your health issues. The switch is starting to light up. The results are in, though, between the panel here. My screen time, 9 to 10 hours on average. Go to Gerald now.
59 minutes.
And the winner of the day.
Can I plead the fifth? I am.
Sarah Davidson, admit.
I have shocked myself quite a bit with a whopping 12 hours and 41 minutes average per day.
Well, just sit back on the couch because we're going to have a talk to Jocelyn. She might be able to diagnose your issues.
Oh, goodness me. I mean, to be fair, I do work from my phone.
Oh, here
my
we go.
Phone.
We heard in the break,
there's
we
a
heard
lot of
all the excuses. So this is perfect. Joining us on the line is psychologist and cyber psychology consultant Jocelyn Brewer to explain the concept of digital nutrition and how it can help us manage our lives around our technology. Welcome to the show, Jocelyn. How do those numbers sound to you?
Look, they probably sound smack bang on average. And as Sarah said, her job is like with her community online. So I would definitely give her, you know, at least 4 to 7 hours of work on her phone.
Oh, thank you, Jocelyn. You are already my new mate.
Did you two chat before the show?
Yes. She's my paid guest for the day.
I did have a little stalk of all of you just to, you know, check in with the content that you're sharing, which generally looks quite digitally nutritious.
So, okay, Jocelyn,
that's a great diagnosis.
So on that, you've kind of described it as digitally nutritious. Can you step back at a second and explain the concept of digital nutrition to us?
Yeah, absolutely. About 10 years ago, I was on a radio interview not dissimilar to this one where everyone was talking about digital detoxing, and especially in relation to kids. And I just thought, gosh, this has got such echoes of diet culture, and that's super unhelpful. We know that fad dieting and all of those kind of sort of body shaming and diet culture kind of words are really, really unhelpful. So I really flipped it on its head and called it digital nutrition so that we can actually use the technology under our skulls to make better choices with the technology we have in the palm of our hands. It's really handy because we all generally tend to eat food, and as parents, we've done lots of work around what's nutritious for our kids. So I just apply it to what we consume online. Is it kind of digital junk food, or is it, as I say, digitally nutritious? Are we learning? Are we connecting? Are we doing some of the good stuff?
Oh my gosh, Jocelyn, that is music to my ears, because I think there's so much guilt associated with words like digital detox and the implications of restriction, and it just becomes a bit toxic. So I love that, you know, we do hear people say all the time digital detox, that term, and your thoughts on that, I think, yeah, just so refreshing, because the reality is we are surrounded by technology, so I think it's beautiful that there are some nutritious ways you can consume it. So, yeah, talk to us a little bit more about your thoughts on that term digital detox and why, you know, that fasting method kind of isn't necessarily the model we should be going after.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think the idea there is that you can just turn it off and you can pull yourself away. And what we know is, like if you're in a particular platform, this isn't even about the device. It's not even about the platform. It's about who you follow and how you've curated an algorithm to serve you up heaps of junk food, heaps of misinformation, maybe values and attitudes that aren't aligned to the things that you really care about. So it's about kind of recognizing that, it's probably about 10 years too late to try and completely, you know, amputate or have abstinence around digital totally. And also stepping back to kind of, I guess if we want to change our habits, we have to change our thinking. And simply forcing ourselves offline and cutting off our connections to our friends isn't going to actually work in the long term. So what's cool is that research is showing that digital detoxes don't work unless you actually do something to replace what you need out of technology, which is usually, when I talk about technology being addictive, it's not technology. We're addicted to each other. We actually love connection. We are wired to connect and be in community. And, you know, social media obviously tries to do that on massive scales and sometimes gets that wrong when we haven't learnt the lessons of how to do this well. No one's taught us yet, even though next year Facebook turns 20. Can you believe?
Don't, because that makes our age very real.
More than 20.
Facebook turns 20. And we probably wouldn't have signed up until probably, you know, 17 years ago. But still, when you think like, oh, that's a big chunk of our lives and we haven't had these lessons yet.
Jocelyn, the evidence seems to say that our concentration spans are narrowing, our working memory is shrinking, close relationships are thinning. Now, as a grandparent, where the hell is this all going?
I guess, again, I would go back to that really incredible technology under your skull that has over 100 billion neurons that work really hard to process and make sense of our world. And when we're putting a lot of cognitive energy into the digital junk food, right, like I love a good meme, I love a bit of a joke, but when that's the big chunk of what we're consuming, we're actually not using that incredible brain to, you know, do higher order thinking, to solve some of the problems that are coming hard and fast at us right now in the world. Mm-hmm. So, look, as a grandparent or as a parent, actually, as a human, you know, my target audience is any human who picks up any kind of digital device. We really, really need to kind of be much more aware and conscious of what we are consuming. I started out my career basically as a commerce teacher. So one of the first lessons I teach is caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. We need to be a lot more savvy. And you know, I think it's really easy to say, oh, you know, big tech made me do it and I am helpless against this. Again, I would really empower people to make stronger choices, especially at this time of year where you've got kids begging for really expensive, high-powered technology. Mm-hmm.
This is such important info. I could talk about it all day. We almost need an entire show dedicated
Absolutely.
To it.
Absolutely.
I just want to run through your 5-point plan for dealing, especially with young people, and what parents could be doing. Mm-hmm. Could you go through those 5 steps quickly for me?
Yeah, look, I really believe in making a plan with kids and not banning stuff is really important. When we empower young people to be a part of the conversations that really impact them, we have a lot better uptake. I usually find, and I work with kids who are clinically addicted to the internet, I'm not pretending that there's not a problem. I absolutely see it, but I know preventing things is really, really the way to go. When we ban stuff, what happens is kids go underground, right? They will work really hard to hide stuff, which puts them at much greater risk if they're not actually reaching out to family. So make a plan. I've got a technology use agreement course that will take you through exactly how to have those conversations, where, yes, you're still the parent and you get to make the final decision, but asking young people would be, you know, my absolute go-to, yeah. Especially if you've got young people who are, you know, in their teens who are already, what I would say, the tech horse has already bolted.
Yeah, and what I love about this is, apart from making a plan, watching your own technology habits, a huge thing. Know what online activities your children are actually engaging in. That's co-play, right. Co-view, have conversations, and also not sweating it. You are such a breath of fresh air, Jocelyn. for all of your tips on digital nutrition, and if you want to reach yourself and find out more about what you do in the psychology space, head to Jocelyn Brewer, that's JocelynBrewer.com. You're a breath of fresh air. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be right back to take your calls here on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Men, it's time to get up and grab Go Healthy Tribulus Max 120 capsules from Chemist Warehouse. It blends natural plant actives like tribulus, ginkgo biloba and horny goatweed, traditionally used in Chinese medicine to support healthy sexual function and healthy libido. So reach for Go Healthy Tribulus Max 120 capsules, available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Go Healthy at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness, and please phone us 131873 if you've got any health concerns, or it might be a vitamin that you want to know about. We're going to get to those calls shortly. But first, it's hay fever season, and what we so often seldom talk about is hay fever and our children. And this morning, Gerald is going to talk us through this. Gerald, is there a link between adult hay fever sufferers and their children?
There probably is, Luke. Usually within a family, if mum or dad is a bad hay fever sufferer, there's a fair chance one of the children would be. And we know also that genetics from if you've got fair skin, red hair, freckles, you know, that Northern European look, there's probably a greater chance that you will be a hay fever sufferer. But everybody's different. It's just a matter of keeping an eye out and looking at the symptoms that might arise.
Well, GQ, on that, in terms of looking out for the symptoms and looking for the signs, how important is it for parents to be able to feel able to spot the signs of hay fever? And then what role can our pharmacists, who are so important in life, play in this management?
Presenting your child in front of the pharmacist is a good idea because, you know, most kids can answer the questions. Mm. And we're looking here at the differentiation between hay fever and, say, a heavy head cold. Heavy head colds, usually there's a rise in temperature, there's misery and all sorts of things, whereas hay fever, There's discomfort, runny nose, itchy eyes. The itching is probably the symptom we're looking for most. And usually a child will tell you if you ask the question.
Mm-hmm. I've got some amazing nieces and nephews in my life. Can kids stop experiencing some of life's more fun moments?
Well, therein lies the issue, because if you are having disturbed sleep, you have got one cranky child on your hands. Mm. And as you know, for anyone that has hay fever, if you've got uncomfortable itching at the back of your throat or your eyes are itching, you're not going to sleep all that well. So naturally enough, that's going to filter all the way through. So looking for some relief is important. Presenting to the pharmacist is important as well. Self-selection might sound okay, but you need to get some advice to get the differentiation, get the appropriate product. They're out there, they're available, but get some advice first.
I mean, we are so lucky that there are solutions out there for kids who have hay fever allergies. What are some of those that we can look to?
Well, antihistamines, we've got very safe antihistamines now that have been developed for many, many, many years. And as time goes by, these are becoming more available, more proven to be effective. So that, again, is where the pharmacist can intervene.
But what age can kids start taking the antihistamines?
Well, usually, well, about 12, we say, but it depends on the build of the child. So if you've got a bigger child who might be a little bit younger, you can actually look at a slightly different mix within that antihistamine range. But again, have a word to your pharmacist.
I love having you around, GQ. You are such a wealth of knowledge. I feel like I'm going to be a better uncle than ever now. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. And some of our sources on children and hay fever come from the Royal Children's Hospital website, rch.org/kidsinfo. The references that we made for the link between parental allergy and offspring, allergic and non-allergic rhinitis, come from a study released in 2013 by Westman, Cull and Lind. Now we're going to jump to your calls. Edward in Sansuki, good morning.
Good morning, Edward. Thanks for holding on. How can we help?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Edward. We've got you. How can we help?
Long last. Look, I'm suffering badly from balance, mm-hmm. and I've got microvascular vessel disease. Mm-hmm. But my balance is terrible. No pain. I'm just no balance from my head right down to my toes.
So this is when you stand up, Edward, or is it with you all the time?
Yes, standing up, when I'm standing up. If I'm sitting down, I'm reasonably good.
Okay. Do you take any medications for blood pressure, Edward?
Yes. No, I'm taking Mecardis for blood pressure.
Okay.
For this particular problem I've got, I'm taking Axit.
Yes.
I take one Axit each night, yes. And I take a half lorazepam at night, and mm-hmm. that's it. But all my problem is during the daytime. When I get up, I have no balance. I have to use a walking stick or mm-hmm. I have a walker, both.
When do you take your Mycardis, Edward?
I take it at night time, about a half an hour before I go to bed, about 9 o'clock.
Okay. Look, it's time to go and have a chat to your doctor about that. I think it's Mycardis related, Edward, and you need to probably have a review of those medications. And I'm sure with a little dosage adjustment of one or other of those three, we can solve this problem, because the unexpected fall is the risk you have, and that's a fracture, and that's life-changing. So please get on to your doctor this week.
Thank you so much for the call, Edward. Let's go to Rowan in Mernda. Good morning, Rohan.
Good morning.
Hi, Rowan.
Good morning.
How can we help?
I just want some advice on where to seek treatment. I suspect I've got a digital mucus cyst on my toe.
On your toe. Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was diagnosed by your local doctor?
No, my local doctor didn't know what it was, unfortunately.
Oh, well...
That was Bruce's research of mine.
Okay. Look, there's a few things you can do. You can... If you can open it up, you can actually squeeze it. But look, I'd be going back to the doctor, and you may need an antibiotic, but if it's a cyst, it needs to be opened up and drained. But my suggestion, go and see a podiatrist. If the doctor doesn't really know, podiatrists are expert in lower leg injuries. Go along, have it looked at, and I think they'll effectively treat it very, very quickly.
Thank you so much for the call. Please keep them coming this morning. The number is 131873 on any health concern. But next up, we shine a light on living with lupus right here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are hay fever allergies holding your child back this spring? Try Telfast from Chemist Warehouse. Telfast 180 milligram gives fast-acting, non-drowsy hay fever relief for kids over 12 years, while Telfast Oral Liquid helps kids over 6 months with hives and kids over 2 years with hay fever and year-round allergies. Get your kids back outdoors with Telfast. Available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Telfast at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back. You're listening to the House of Wellness, and be sure to phone in. Keep those calls coming in, 131873. It might be about food, nutrition, a supplementation or a medication. We would love to hear from you. But first, lupus is an autoimmune disease that primarily affects women, with 90% of its patients being females in the 15 to 45-year-old age bracket the world over. Joining us on the line is Dr. Catherine Connolly, a rheumatologist at Monash Health, which has Australia's largest dedicated lupus clinic. Good morning and welcome to the show, Catherine. Can you please explain for us just what lupus is to us?
Hi, thanks for having me on the show today. So lupus is actually quite a complicated disease, and we don't know everything there is to know about it yet. But we do know it is an autoimmune disease, and that basically means that the immune system, which we normally rely on to fight off threats like bacteria, viruses, cancerous cells, that immune system fails to function properly, and it starts to recognise our healthy tissues as actually being foreign. And so that immune system then creates inflammation in our healthy tissues, and that leads to the various symptoms and signs of lupus. And if we don't control this, then that can cause some irreversible damage to those organs.
Catherine, it sounds like it can be quite debilitating, but something that I think still we don't know that much about, and Luke mentioned that it's women who are most affected by lupus. Can you tell us a little bit more about this sort of segment of society and when it comes on and who's most affected?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So women do make up over 90% of people that are affected with lupus. And the onset of disease is most common in that kind of young adulthood sort of age range. So it can be very, it's a very busy time of life when you're a young female, you're thinking about family, work, so it can have a huge impact in that particular patient group. And we also know that it's more common and more severe in certain ethnic groups, for example, Asian Australians and Indigenous Australians as well.
Catherine, so often lupus is a disease which is almost diagnosed by differentiation, in that it everything else is disregarded, and suddenly there is a focus on what it might be. What are some of the common symptoms that a person who might have lupus, what would they look for?
Yes, and you mentioned a very important point, because lupus affects different people in different ways, depending on which parts of the body are being affected by the immune system. So that can make it very variable in the sort of symptoms that people have. Certainly two of the most commonly affected areas are the skin and the joints. Mm-hmm. So that can lead to symptoms like rashes, hair loss, mouth ulcers and joint pain or swelling. Mm-hmm. But really, lupus can affect almost any part of the body. So that includes the kidneys, the blood cells, the nervous system, heart, lungs, eyes. So really virtually anywhere in the body. So that can make symptoms very diverse. Mm-hmm. It is also really common for people with lupus to have more general symptoms like fatigue or brain fog. And those also can be quite debilitating, as you can imagine.
Sure.
Catherine, that is such a broad spectrum of very different symptoms that could be related to many other things. So is there a definitive test? How are people actually diagnosed with lupus in the end?
Yeah, so as rheumatologists, we rely on recognising sort of groups of symptoms that could be compatible with lupus, and then we combine that with results of blood tests and sometimes other investigations like scans or biopsies. There is no single test that can diagnose lupus, so we really have to kind of gather information and put all the pieces of the puzzle together to try and make that diagnosis.
Catherine, are there comorbidities associated with lupus? Are there pre-existing conditions that age woman might have which would predispose her to a greater chance of being diagnosed with lupus?
Well, we know that people who have a tendency to autoimmune disease, so if they have been diagnosed with other autoimmune conditions or if that runs in their family,
yes,
then that can put people at an increased risk of developing another autoimmune condition, such as lupus as well.
Sure. So what autoimmune conditions, were you looking at, what, rheumatoid arthritis or something like that?
Yeah, so even those affecting other parts of the body, thyroid disease, celiac disease, where you've got fat intolerance to gluten.
Sure.
Those would be some of the common sort of autoimmune comorbidities that
okay.
we see.
Okay.
Catherine, as we know, there is no cure for lupus, but if the condition is controlled early, the likelihood of later complications may be reduced. But there's also lifestyle factors that can help manage lupus. Can you run me through two of those?
Yeah, certainly. So we know that most people will require some degree of medication, but we know that the lifestyle factors are also really important to get the best possible health outcomes in lupus.
Yep.
For example, we know that exposure to ultraviolet light through the sun can trigger flares of lupus.
Mm.
So sun protection becomes really, really important if you have a diagnosis of lupus. And we also know that for some lupus symptoms like fatigue, our drug treatments don't work particularly well, and it's actually all the non-drug interventions like exercise therapy, learning to pace your activities, good sleep habits. Those are the things that actually have the most benefit for those types of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a really important part of self-management.
Yeah, look, it can be very overwhelming for people when they're diagnosed with lupus, but you recommend that you see your doctor, specialist or other health professional who can provide you with information about available support. Catherine, if anyone wants to know more about this disease, they can head to Lupus Australia, which you can find online at lupusnsw.org.au, or you can visit the Monash Lupus Clinic on www.monash.edu and look for the information on lupus. Thank you so much for joining us today, Catherine. Have a wonderful start to your day.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We're going to jump into your calls. We're going to go to Diff in Oakley. Good morning.
Diff, good morning. How can we help?
Hey, how you going?
Very well. How can we help you?
I just had a question about fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, if there's a difference between cod liver oil and just your normal fish oil tablet.
Okay. Well, cod liver oil is really the oil from cod liver. So quite definitive, rich in vitamin A, rich in vitamin D. Fish oil, on the other hand, is the whole fish and nothing but the fish. So really, the fish oil is the comprehensive anti-inflammatory. Cod liver oil, many people will remember Hypol and things like that we were giving to children for their immune system. So it depends, Diff, what you're going to expect from one or the other. And get some advice, which pharmacist is for.
Keep those calls coming in. Thanks for the call, Diff. 131-873. We'll jump into calls very, very soon. But after the break, looking after our bone health right here on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are hay fever allergies holding your child back this spring? Try Telfast from Chemist Warehouse. Telfast 180 milligram gives fast-acting, non-drowsy hay fever relief for kids over 12 years, while Telfast Oral Liquid helps kids over 6 months with hives and kids over 2 years with hay fever and year-round allergies. Get your kids back outdoors with Telfast. Available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Caruso's Fluid Away at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. We are still taking your calls, 131-873, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But first, GQ, I love having you around because whenever I'm curious about a health condition, mm-hmm. you're the man to go to. And today I want to talk about the importance of vitamin K2 in achieving peak bone mass.
We have learned a lot about vitamin K2 over the last few years because we know that calcium is important, but we also know that we need to be careful about driving too much calcium into our blood vessels because that can cause a problem. Vitamin K2's role is quite specifically to direct calcium into bones and away from blood vessels. So fundamental that any calcium supplement should have vitamin K2 combined. But really, if you've got an issue with bone strength, having vitamin K2 as a supplement, because mm-hmm. we just can't get enough from eating a bucket full of camembert cheese or spreading Japanese natto on your toast every morning. So a supplement is the way to go. It is. We're learning so much about its role in bone and blood vessel health as time goes by.
Oh, so you can't actually then get enough through your diet? Are there any dietary sources of vitamin K2?
Yeah, well, those couple I mentioned, but it's tiny amounts. We just cannot get enough. And this is probably why so much work, there's an extract called MK7, which is actually grown on a yeast in Japan. So not a yeast that's going to cause problems, but it is a pure extract, and that's the one really which probably most of the better companies are now using.
So it's about it being bioavailable and bioactive so that it's completely absorbed
by
the body.
That's right. There's no point taking something if it's not absorbed, and that's what's so good about this extract.
So what should we actually be looking for in a vitamin K2? If someone's listening to this and they go, yeah, I'm keen, what are we looking for in a vitamin K2 supplement?
If you've been diagnosed with osteopenia, which is a name we associate with a tendency to increase risk of osteoporosis, vitamin K2 is a very important thing to consider. Get some advice. If you're taking a calcium supplement which does not contain vitamin K2, add vitamin K2, please.
GQ, can I somehow roll you up and have you in my pocket everywhere I go for any health condition?
I want him to move into our spare room.
I asked first.
Well, why don't all three of us just move into a share house?
I would love that. Guys, Get Nourish is brought to you by Go Healthy's Go K2 180 milligram Advanced Bone Care, convenient high-strength one-a-day formulation to support healthy bones. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. If symptoms persist, talk to your health professional. Vitamin mineral supplements should not replace a balanced diet. Let's get into some of these fantastic calls. Margaret in Preston, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Margaret.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
I've been diagnosed in the last 4 or 5 months with osteoporosis.
Sure.
And I get such a lot of pain at night. I'm not sleeping well. And I don't want to be sitting all day to get ease. What can I do about it?
Are you getting treatment for your osteoporosis, Margaret? Are you getting medication or the infusion? What's happening?
Well, I've just been told to take Panadol Osteo, which I find makes me very tired.
I'll take
that going to bed at night.
I think it's pretty useless anyway, Margaret. If you've had a diagnosis of osteoporosis, you need appropriate treatment, because this is where your bones are becoming brittle. If you've got back pain, it's sounding more serious than probably what is being recognised. So if you could please get another updated chat from your GP, and if you're getting nowhere, get another opinion.
Let's go to Chris in Mount Derrett. Good morning.
Hello, Chris.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
We're well. How can we help?
Yeah, I went to my doctor's on Thursday afternoon, and he done me blood pressure, because every time I'm in bed, I'm always, all night, I'm always getting up and my whole bed's all saturated.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out my blood pressure's 214 over 165. My heart rate's 138 beats a minute.
And Chris, has he given you some medication to settle that down?
He's got me on 4 different blood pressure tablets, and they're not even controlling it either.
And how long have you been on those now?
I've been on them for nearly 2 years, 3 years now.
Time to go back and just have a whole complete reassessment done, Chris, because...
Yeah, because I'm always shaking a lot with it and all.
Well, you're up in the potentially having a stroke area, so you need to go back to your doctor or someone else to try and get that blood pressure under control and have some lifestyle interventions as well. Check exercise, what you're eating, and this is really very important.
Make sure you get on top of that, Chris. Let's go to Sue in Rose Bay. Good morning.
Hello, Sue.
Yes, hello. Good morning. I had a stent back in June. I was always on krill oil and also CoQ10, quite a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm on Rovastatin
first,
and then I'm on a clopidogrel or whatever it is.
Clopidogrel, yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're probably wondering whether you can take those supplements, Sue. Of course you can. Of course you can. So you can go back to 500 milligram of krill once a day, and instead of CoQ10, take ubiquinol, 150 milligram every morning to stop any pain in your legs associated with the statin, but absolutely fine.
Keep those calls coming in, 131-873. We'll be right back after this break here on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Men, It's time to get up and grab Go Healthy Tribulus Max 120 capsules from Chemist Warehouse. It blends natural plant actives like tribulus, ginkgo biloba and horny goatweed, traditionally used in Chinese medicine to support healthy sexual function and healthy libido. So reach for Go Healthy Tribulus Max 120 capsules, available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Go Healthy at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
What an amazing way to start the day, team. Can I ask one word that you're going to take as an intention into your day, GQ?
One word?
Yeah. What are you going to do today? Are you going to be motivated, passionate?
Play good golf.
Play good golf. Sarah?
Mine's a hyphenated single word. Digital detox.
Oh, I am loving that. Guys, don't forget, you can catch the TV show version of us Fridays and Sundays on 7. It's jam-packed. Not to mention a fantastic competition. Yeah. Who wants to go to Bali? Hands up.
I do.
Yeah, how good is that? We've got an incredible retreat at Sukhavati. It is the prize to win. And if you check out your newspaper today, we've got the House of Wellness Plus, all about festive energy. So if you're looking to better your health in your head, your heart, your body, your soul, we are the guys. So make sure that you tune in and do something positive for you today. There's a saying I want to leave you with is you cannot pour from an empty cup.
Ooh, that's deep.
So if you want to give back to others around you, you need to give back to yourself so that your best possible version of you. As always, a massive thanks to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. We hope you have the best day ever.